The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. James Dean first got into the porn industry in 2004 when he was just 18 years old. In the decades since then, his rise to fame is nothing short of meteoric. He has filmed over 4,000 scenes in his career. He has a rabid fan following among teenage girls who call themselves Deenagers. He has been profiled in GQ, on CNBC, and on the ABC Nightline feature, Porn's Boy Next Door. He has spoken at Pasadena City College, Washington University, and University of Wisconsin at Madison. He somewhat infamously appeared in the film Backdoor Teen Mom with reality star Farrah Abram. He also appeared opposite Lindsay Lohan in Paul Schrader's 2013 film The Canyons, written by Bret Easton Ellis. And he's rumored to be in a few other mainstream films coming up. He has received 92 Adult Award nominations and won 15, including Male Performer of the Year, 6 times. He also is the youngest actor ever to have won that award. And so, people, he's kind of a big deal. And it's actually taken almost a year to get him on the show, but I have had the pleasure of working with him, and what I can say about him is he is one of the most consummate professionals working in the porn industry. I'm so glad to finally have him here. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, James.
Thank you very much for having me. Can you be my publicist? Because you just you make me sound really good.
I think you already have a publicist, but you're welcome.
Thank you.
So I don't know if you remember the very first time we met.
Refresh my memory because I want to make sure that we have the same memory of it.
Okay, so it was in 2004 before you started performing, and it was
with us at a Flesh Pot interview in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Just want to make sure we have the same memory. Yes. Okay. It was, and Flesh Pot was interviewing me, you, and Joanna Angel.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, this guy is different. Like, there is something totally different about him. I wonder where this is going to go. And obviously, you know, people have seen where it's going to go. So I want to start first with something I read about you in the press, which I think would strike fear into the hearts of millions of conservative parents everywhere. And that is that you've wanted to be in porn since you were in kindergarten. Is that true?
Yeah, and as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to be in adult films.
So what was your earliest viewing? Like, when did you first see porn, know what porn was, and say, I want to do that?
Well, the memory that I have is, you know, I was in kindergarten and I was ditching school because I was, you know, an idiot, or still am, I guess, but whatever. So I was ditching school, and my school ran there was the school, and then on the there was a horse trail behind the school, and on the other side of the horse trail there was a bunch of houses. So there was a hole in the fence that, you know, was on in between the horse trail or on the school side and stuff, and I would climb through that hole and I'd be on the horse trail and I'd walk on the horse trail and then I'd, you know, escape the confines of the education system and go and be a knucklehead running around as a child, you know, being, you know, not in school. So so as I was walking on the horse trail, I came across a adult magazine, and there was a bunch of people having sex in it. And at that point, I had already learned what sex was because my sister was, sorry for just kind of being a little blasé with this story. I've just told it quite a few times. So, but my sister is older than I am, and she had just done a sex ed like class when I was in kindergarten. I think she was in third or fourth grade, and they had just done like sexual education, sexual health, and so we were walking home because my sister and I, and then my sister's friend who was in the same grade as her, and then her little sister who was in the same grade as me. The four of us would all walk home because we lived near each other, and the older kids were giggling about, you know, what they learned about doing it, and the younger kids, you know, were like, what are you talking about, until finally the older kids told the younger kids about like the, you know, basic mechanics of sex. So when I remember it's hard for me to actually remember exact things that, you know, that I was consciously thinking when I was, you know, 6 years old, 5 years old, but I do remember it all kind of like making sense. Like I never remember a time where I like learned about sex and I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, it's just always kind of been like, yeah, all right, that makes sense. I don't know why, and I don't know if that's accurate. I just know that that's how I currently feel. So I see this adult magazine and I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I want to be in this. I want to be in this magazine. And, like, this is what I want to be when I grow up. And that is kind of the story.
And so do you feel like you somehow missed what a lot of people get when they're kids, which is these messages about sex, that sex is dirty, that sex is sinful, that you should have all this shame about sex? It seems like maybe you bypassed that.
I mean, I don't think, I definitely did not really get that. And also, I'm not the type that ever like really, that, like, I'm not, like, if people tell me something like that, I've always kind of been not necessarily a critical thinker, but very, I'm the knucklehead that was told don't smoke when I was in third grade, and then I immediately went out and got cigarettes. You know, it's not like I'm the type of person that when I'm told this is the way it is, I'm going to pretty much immediately defy it and then try to figure out why and make my own decisions for myself and blah, 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 blah. And so, I can't imagine that. Like, I'm sure there were times where I was, like, given some sort of, like, negative stigma about sexuality. I just didn't really go for it because I, like, you know, didn't understand why there was any negative stigma. And then I, like, you know, had to kind of, like, figure it out for myself. And then as far as, like, you know, also I'm Jewish. And, you know, sex in the Jewish culture is a lot different than sex in the, you know, Christian culture or the Catholic culture, I guess. I'm not too experienced with the sexual views of Catholicism or Christianity, as, like I said, I'm Jewish, but from what I can tell, Judaism is just a lot less of a sexually, I don't want to say repressed, but maybe oppressed. Jews are pretty cool about things, and
sex is a mitzvah.
Yeah, and I was talking to someone the other day about the Bible and how the first five books of the Bible, and I don't know about Orthodox Jews or whatever. I only know how I was raised as a Jew. And as far as I was raised, we were talking about how, like, you know, in Christianity and Catholicism, it's like, there's all these, like, this is literal. This is actually what happened in the world. And in Judaism, it's not, you know, what I was taught. And this is probably because I went to, like, conservative and reformed, temples and synagogues and not maybe not Orthodox. I don't know how the Orthodox do it. But what I was taught was, this is not real. These are stories with moral and ethical, messages about the best practices in order to live your life. You know, be good to each other, all these things like that. Don't be a dick. Don't do this. You know, they're not, you know, literal tales of things that you need to believe word for word. It's the message that's important, and it's a story that, you know, is supposed to open up discussion, and, you know, you're supposed to talk about things. And so sex, you know, as far as my culture, my cultural upbringing has gone, has kind of been the same thing where, like, you know, and maybe, like I said, it's a reformed or a conservative or whatever, you know, type thing. But as a young Jewish child, I wasn't ever taught, like, you know, sex is dirty. You have a special place and no one can touch it but you. Like, it's, or not even you, or like, don't masturbate. It's bad for you. Like, you're making God cry. Like, I never got any of that stuff. I got, like, you know, I didn't get, like, go fuck everyone in the world. But I did, you know, there was never a sexual oppressive, like, umbrella over my head that I can remember.
So James Dean's takeaway from Judaism is, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
that's what I just got from that. That's a really good, like, tweetable quote.
Yeah. And it's pretty much what eat a lot of food, talk everything to death, don't be a dick. That's what I got from being a Jew.
Well, this discussion of religion actually leads into one of your latest projects is this new series you are directing for Evil Angel, which is all about.
I'm directing for myself. Evil Angel is doing my distribution.
Okay, yes, you're directing it for yourself.
You can actually see everything way before you see it on DVD, because all my DVDs are basically scenes from my website, jamesdean.com, and my company. Evil Angel is merely the people that get it to the store, so I don't have to deal with, you know, collections or salespeople.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So it's called, it's all about the sins, about the seven sins.
I'm actually just having a conversation with some of the people at Evil Angel about how they're like, they were like talking about, you know, legal liability and stuff like that. And I am aware that the distributor is actually not just as liable, but they are liable for any product they ship, regardless of, you know, the whole Max Hardcore thing is a very good example of where, this man had a product that was then shipped by a distributor, and then the distributor and him were both brought up, and the distributor threw him under the bus, and this and then this and then all these things like that. So it was actually just a little complication of like, you know, of how we're going to, like, I had, like, sign an indemnity waiver to be like, you know, this is my product, this is my company, and they are just the distributor and stuff. And so, you know, that's why I was just like so adamant about it, is because I was literally just making an email about this.
Okay, and obviously John Stagliano has been a target in the past for obsenity charges, and so it's clear why he takes this stuff so seriously, because really people have gone after him about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's James Dean's series.
And it's been the same thing, too. It was for somebody that, it wasn't one of his movies. It was another director and somebody who had their own company, and he was just merely the distributor.
Because, right.
You know, John, you know, you got to remember, John doesn't own a lot of a percentage of the product. He, like, partners in with the directors and, like, works with them. But for the most part, he doesn't own, and, like, that's all a bunch of individual companies that he's just shipping. And then, you know, then there's some other things that, well, whatever, it's still fine. People are still figuring out how the internet works. So, like, you know, but, like, as far as the company goes, yeah, he was brought up on obscenity charges for another production company's content, something that he was just merely moving around the country, because it's not a matter, the way that the law works is it falls on the person who created the content, but it also, but more than anything, it falls on the person who is responsible for moving the product around the country and putting it in the areas that don't allow it. So,
okay, so I want to talk about this new series, but we need to take a break and hear from our fantastic sponsors, including Astroglide. Go to astroglide.com and get a free sample. Stay with us, because we are going to talk about sins, and one of James Dean's sins, you know, one of the films, is so incredibly provocative and amazing that we need to talk about it. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try Astroglide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. Astroglide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. Astroglide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does Astroglide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today with mainstream darling, porn performer, the porn's answer to the boy next door, James Dean. And before the break, we talked about his series that he's directing called The Seven Sins. And so each film follows these different sins. And so, James, let's talk about Pride, shall we?
Sure. The Pride was actually... So basically, the way that this project came up is as I was saying, I have jamesdean.com and I have my company that I shoot a bunch of stuff for and, go to jamesdean.com and check it all out. So I have jamesdean.com and I had a bunch of scenes that I wanted to shoot. But one of the scenes that I've been talking about shooting for like 5 years, pretty much since I started this company, was I wanted to put a bunch of girls in masks on my own face and then, have them, gangbang this girl and have me come in and have sex with them. And then since then, I actually am very happy I didn't shoot it 5 years ago because, since then, I have learned a lot and I believe my production. Like if you look at some of the old stuff on jamesdean.com versus some of the new stuff, I think you'll think it's easy to see a difference in, product quality. And, I'm very happy I didn't shoot it. And then also my dildo came out, since then. So I got to have these girls.
You're the replica, you're the actual replica of your cock, which is put out by Doc Johnson.
So Doc Johnson puts out this this replica of my dick, and so I got these girls to wear masks on my own face and wear replicas of my penis and gangbang this girl, and then I come in, and then I have sex with all of them in their butts, and then I come on the mask of my own face, and then I have sex with the girl, and then the girls have sex with the girls, and then they kill me, and there's all this crazy stuff happens. And so the whole series basically stemmed from that one idea, and even though it was like the fifth one to come out, it was basically what the whole series is based off of, is the idea of I want to shoot this scene, and then I kind of started thinking of all these other scenes I wanted to shoot, and I'd be like, oh, okay, well, you know, this giant food fight orgy that I wanted to do, you know, that can fit as gluttony, and how, you know, I want to fill the house full of naked girls, and I'm like, that could be greed. I could just be a weirdo who's hoarding women. Like, that's greed. So I have greed, and then I have gluttony, and then I had pride, and now I'm stuck, and I've done all of them but wrath, and I have no idea how to do wrath, because I don't know, like, sex is not an angry, like, action for me. Like, if I'm mad and angry, I don't want to have sex with someone. People keep giving me these ideas. I'm like, yeah, that's a great movie. That's a great, like, plot. But none of these have plots. They're all just kind of using sex to express whatever sin it may be. And if you, like, check them out, they're not really, like, I got, you know him, so my buddy Danny Wilde, who's really awesome, and anybody that doesn't know who Danny Wilde is should know who Danny Wilde is, because he's amazing. So Danny Wilde is doing all the scoring and stuff, and then he did the editing on some of them. And he and I have always been, like, trying, whenever we're in a room talking about it, and he's like, oh, you got a feature, you got this, and we're like, no, it's not. Oh, and it's, like, so hard to, like, communicate what they actually are, because they're not anything but porno. They're just porno. They're just, like, they're not features. There's no plot. There's not really, they're just, like, high concept, like, really crazy production.
Yeah, values. They're artsy, like, and they also feel very, like, atmospheric. Like, there's a theme, and you sort of set a tone, and each movie has its own kind of vibe that is based around this like sort of sin of excess of some kind. So it's like sort of they're atmospheric in a way.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Thank you. Yeah, you should totally do my PR. So yeah, totally. And that's the thing, is like, it's really hard to explain, and then people start pitching me these things for wrath, and I'm like, that's great, but no. And then that's what actually started this whole conversation with Evil, is I was like, because before all the sins, like, I just, you know, like I said, I don't work for them, they work for me, so I just shoot them, and then I turn them in, and they're like, oh, wait, here's a problem with this one, and then it turns into this whole, like, conversation, and like, wrath, I started talking about my idea, and every single person I've pitched it to is like, dude, don't fucking do that. You're just gonna, like, that is the most horrific, terrible thing I've ever heard. But the thing is, like, that's wrath is supposed to be like that's too violent, or it's disturbing. I'm like, yeah, but it's wrath. It's supposed to be fucked up. Like, what am I supposed to do? So I don't know.
I love this idea that you're stumped on wrath, because I think that, you know, one of the sort of fundamental misunderstandings around rough sex and BDSM is that it is violence, first of all, right? Mm-hmm. And so this notion that you so clearly see this distinction between fucking someone roughly and it being a power exchange and not being about rage or anger is really fascinating. Like, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit more about that. Like, what is it like to do some of these really kinky scenes where you're dominating or you're topping or you're inflicting pain on someone? If you don't feel anger, what do you feel during those scenes?
Well, I mean, I would categorize it more as lust than anger. I mean, it's when you have, for me, it's a consensual activity between however many individuals that are kind of agreeing on things. And it's more about like power and satisfaction and stuff. And like me personally, I like sex, and I like sex with, you know, other people more than just with myself. So it's like, me personally, you know, tying someone up and like engaging in any sort of rough or BDSM or any sort of power exchange like that, it doesn't really do anything personally for me. I think it's hot because like I get as much self-satisfaction out of like tender making out and like very gentle, connected, romantic, quote unquote, type stuff that I shoot for, you know, people like yourself, or, you know, Erotica X and X Art and stuff like that. Like, I get just as much, you know, gratification, satisfaction out of that type of interaction as I do with like the kink.com or like the crazy Seven Sins stuff. It's, you know, more about the journey with the partner and less about the individual, you know, action and like, I mean, choking someone, I get no sexual satisfaction out of choking someone. My hand is not necessarily the most erogenous area of my body, so having it squeezed tightly around someone's throat doesn't turn me on, and I don't feel a feeling of power and control. I feel like it's like more scientific of me, like, you know, looking at them and trying to pay attention to make sure that things aren't, you know, make sure they're still within their comfort zone, and like it's more like a caretaking situation, and verifying that, you know, their body's not going to be damaged, and like this is all okay, and it's more of a more foreplay and like you know than the actual, like, I don't know how to describe it. But yeah, it's not an anger, vengeance, wrath, destruction, like, you know, sort of situation for me. I see nothing in there about it. And then like people keep pitching rape to me, and I'm like, but scientifically, as far as I understand, or, you know, psychologically, I guess it's 6-1, but whatever, as far as I understand, like, rape is a power thing. It's not, I mean, it's a violent power thing. It's not an anger thing. Like, people, it's like, anger is a crime, is like a passion, you know, wrath, passion. Like, you have to have a burning of something like that. And like, there's none of that behind any sort of power exchange to me. It's just like, God, what do I do for wrath?
Okay, well, this is it's a good problem to have.
Well, yeah, except that I can't release 6 out of 7 of the sins. I have to do all 7.
Right.
And then I was thinking of just doing like a censored for porno version, and then like on the art cut, quote unquote, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. We'll see. But I know I plan on doing like a premiere of sorts with, I gotta figure that out. I don't want to, like, you know, hype something that doesn't exist. But, you know, if I do like an art cut, then I was going to just release the full thing. And then for porno, I was going to do like a censored version where it just like has like censored, like just black titles that just say like censored for the adult version, and people fill in the blanks because of the violence and stuff. But then, you know, that's a whole thing that I guess people aren't going to masturbate to, and I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it some thought now that you're stuck on wrath. I am going to give it some serious thought. I want to ask you about your also very famous girlfriend. You've been described as the Beyonce and Jay-Z of porn. However, you've gone on to clarify that in that equation, you're Beyonce. And she's Jay-Z. Are you still sticking by that?
Why wouldn't I want to be Beyonce? I mean, Jay-Z is pretty cool and all, don't get me wrong, but like, Beyonce is Beyonce. Like, that is some, like, Beyonce is cool. Like, so yeah, that's why I said Beyonce, because fucking Beyonce.
You also did a Reddit that was really an Ask Me Anything on Reddit, which is really, really popular. And people asked you all sorts of crazy, bizarre questions. But I want to ask you just one of them, which I think is relevant. And do you think it's strange that you seemingly have as many male fans as you do female fans?
I don't really know. I have no idea what my fan base is anymore, especially. I mean, I never really did. Like, the idea of, like, when Amanda Hess came over and started, you know, being like, hey, so here's Tumblr, and this is what's going on, and this is what I've observed, and this is why I'm talking to you. It was just as baffling for me as the question that you just asked. My theory on sexuality is that it's an individual thing. There's basic consistencies that are generalized across the plane of the mass of humanity, but they're really just kind of the standard basic stuff that isn't necessarily going to hold consistent across the board. And so really there's no way to do anything when it comes to sex for anybody but the individual that you're catering to. And so since I can only know 100% what my personal desires and tastes and thoughts are, I try to cater towards myself. So all the movies and all the things I do, like, if people, like, whenever people look at jamesdean.com and they talk to me about, oh, so this scene, did you do this because you thought? I'm like, no, I did this because I wanted to see Cagney Lane Carter get butt fucked. So I shot her in an anal scene. It had nothing to do with anything else. Like, it was really, like, so the same thing with, like, fan base and stuff like that. Like, it's not so much, none of it seems strange to me. It's just kind of, like confusing and cool and, like I'm, like, rad, I guess. I'm going to keep being me and hope that people keep liking me because I have no clue what I'm doing. And if I did, I would keep doing it.
Well, that's a great place to end. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us, James.
Of course. Thank you for being so persistent and making sure that we got to do this.
James Dean is an actor, a producer, and a porn performer. You can find everything you ever wanted to see about James on jamesdean.com. You can follow his adventures on jamesdeanblog.com. And you can follow him on Twitter, which is really hysterical, at James Dean. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. Okay, coming up next, I will talk to really another groundbreaking performer in the adult industry, Kelly Shibari. So stay with us.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. That interview with James Dean was pre-recorded, but now, for the rest of the show, we are live, and you can give us a call at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio. My next guest, like James Dean, is also one of the busiest people working in the adult industry today. From her background in design and construction in mainstream film and television production to performing in front of the camera as the sexually charged figurehead for chubby Asian girls everywhere, Kelly Shibari is a stereotype-breaking tour de force. Holding the distinct honor of being the only plus-size performer ever molded for her own fleshlight, Kelly made sexy pop culture media site Fleshbot's top 10 crush object list for 2013. She was also named BBW Performer of the Year at the Fannies in both 2013 and 2014, and she was named Best BBW Performer at the 2013 Night Moves Awards. Kelly most recently again made history as the first ever plus-size model to be featured on the cover of Penthouse Forum. Her groundbreaking projects are so numerous. One which is very recent, is her first sex education video, the first ever to have been created for the plus size community, Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex, Plus Size. And I'm so glad she took time out of her busy schedule to talk to us today. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Kelly.
Thank you for having me on your show.
So you really have broken a tremendous amount of new ground because you really put out there kind of who you are and you own it. You have this mantra of confidence is sexy. And I feel like you've broken through some walls around people of size and porn and who is sexy. I mean, when you came into adult, was that your goal?
Oh, gosh, no. When I first came into porn, it was really meant to just be a sabbatical. I know it was mentioned in the little intro, but I was a roadie for a while when I got out of college and lived in New York. And when I moved to Los Angeles, I became a production designer and an art director for, you know, like mainstream films, like B-movie horror films and infomercials and commercials, the music videos, as well as some of the movies that, you know, that are out there. That everybody kind of knows. So I was doing that for a while, and that was supposed to be my career. I mean, that's what I went to college for. I went to college for technical theater and design. So I was like, okay, well, I'm on my way, you know, doing bigger and better projects every single year. And in 2007, there was a giant writer's strike in Los Angeles, and all the work dried up. And so all of us were sitting around and going, okay, well, we can live off of our pension funds while we wait for the strike to let up and work to come back. And honestly, you know, that happened in 2007, it's now 2014, and work really hasn't come back to the level that it was, because there's a lot of productions in other cities and other countries. But we were sitting around, and one of my really dear friends, who was a weapons wrangler, so he's the guy that does all the prop guns on a show and teaches actors how to use guns and safety and all that kind of stuff. He said, hey, you know, my girlfriend and I moonlight in porn. She's a MILF performer, and I perform sometimes, and I direct projects, and you might want to try porn. And my first reaction was like, you know, there's no fat girls in porn. You know, I really thought that he just kind of meant it as a joke. He says, no, it's like a thing. It's a niche that's kind of growing and gaining momentum. It's been around for a long time, but it's kind of picking up right now. And here are some websites. And so I took a look at those websites and I said, oh, so the girls are plus size. They're, you know, they have great hair and makeup, and they're shot in just like regular porn situations, not anything derogatory. And I said, okay, well, fine. I'll send my photos in, and if they take me, I'll do it. And so it was kind of meant to just be like a fun little short bucket list sabbatical thing. And now it's been 8 years.
And so the rest, well, but really,
I'm still here.
You're not just still here. I wouldn't say you're still here. You've really kind of escalated to the top of your field. I mean, I would say you're one of the best plus size performers out there, and you've become a kind of a poster girl for body acceptance and body positivity. And so it seemed pretty natural when this movie came out, but how did it come about that you and Jessica Drake teamed up for this this educational movie for plus size folks?
So I'd been in porn for a couple of years, and you do what all of the new girls in the business do. So you're on social media, or you have your own membership site. And so you're doing all these things that are just promoting all of the sexy things that you're doing. And, somebody told me about Twitter, and I started using it, you know, and it was basically told me, oh, you know, you're on all these message boards for plus size porn, and you're on, oh God, MySpace.
I know, I get old when I say it. And
here's a new platform you might want to try called Twitter. And so I used it, and you know, seriously, like after 4 or 5 months of, here's pictures of my boobs, here's pictures of my clit, you know, here's a picture of me, you know, fucking a dildo. Like after all of that, it just got really boring for me. And I don't know if it's because I didn't get into the business until I was in my mid-30s, or because I am just inherently bored with that kind of stuff. Like, I, you know, I'm not, you know, most people aren't horny 24/7. Shocker.
Yeah. And breaking news. So thank you for being honest.
Yeah. Right. You know, porn girls don't go walking down the street just looking for something stiff to stick up their cooch. So, I mean, they might be, but they're not 24/7 and definitely not me. So I decided to kind of change my tactic and just become more me. And so I'm inherently a nerdy dork. And so I started talking about the things that I liked, and it just, over time, it became easier. What I found is it was easier for fans to interact with me because, for a couple of reasons. One, you know, they could talk to me like I was a real person and not like they were being sold something every single time they talked to me on Twitter. And two, it gave them a chance to talk to me without worrying about like their wives or girlfriends or other significant others looking over the show to go, what are you doing talking to a porn girl, right? And so because of that, I became more accessible to my fan base. And what happened was a lot of the girlfriends and wives started going, oh, who are you talking to? And they said, oh, I'm talking to this girl. She does porn, but hey, you know, she talks about all this other stuff. And so then they became my friends on social media. And then I started getting a lot of their questions. You know, I'm in a relationship and I'm a plus size girl and I feel kind of uncomfortable being naked in front of my boyfriend, or, you know, that combined with, you know, I really like your porn because you're built like me. So now I get to watch porn with my boyfriend. Now what can I do to take sex to the next level? And so about 3 or 4 years ago, I started thinking, okay, well, you know, wouldn't it be cool to have something that I can offer them in terms of kind of not necessarily like a lesson plan, but more of it initially started off with, well, let me look online and see if there's something available, you know, whether there's a book that's available about plus size sex or blogs or videos or anything like that I can suggest that they get, because I'm, you know, I'm not a licensed sex educator. And so I kind of wanted to say, okay, no, go here. And what happened was I couldn't find anything. There's a couple of books out there. There's a handful of blogs, but there was nothing really comprehensive and there was definitely no video. So that's when I said, oh, we should go and make a video. And so I had approached a couple of other, you know, notable companies that make sex ed videos, and they had all been like, well, you know, plus size sex, I don't know. It was not something that we know a lot about. So they kind of passed. But when I went to Jessica, she immediately said yes.
Mm. Well, she's a smart, person. What can we say? well, and do you think there
is a great consistency? So.
And do you think that, like, that we've reached a kind of a tipping point? Because it feels like that. It feels like we are in a moment where we are turning the page on plus size being simply a sort of a fetish or a funny joke, but like that it's really, we're really rethinking just how to both address plus size folks and also represent them. Do you feel like we're at that point, or do you feel like we have a long way to go?
I think there's still a long ways to go. I think it's demographic based. I think older, you know, the college frat crowd is still going to, you know, be making fun of fat girls because it's kind of like a common denominator and still one of those like last bastions of bullying. Like, you're still allowed to like make fun of fat people, kind of like you're still allowed to make fun of old people. I think in terms of size acceptance, I think it's not necessarily one of those like tipping point things. I think it's you almost get to a point now, especially in the States, with so many people being plus size, you almost have no choice but to say, okay, well, what can we do to make your lives happier? And good sex is always happy.
Okay, that's a good place to take a little break. That's totally true. We are going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. But coming up, we will talk about feminism and we'll bring it full circle and talk to Kelly Shibari about James Dean, That's right, people. And yes. Remember, we're live and you can call and talk to Kelly Shabari. Call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. One lucky caller or a lucky listener whose email I read on the air is going to win a prize from Sports Sheets. So pick up the phone, people. We'll be back more with Kelly Shabari when we return.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking with plus size powerhouse performer Kelly Shabari, and we're live. So this is your last chance to talk to Kelly Shabari live. Give us a call at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Before the break, we were talking about one of her latest projects, which is Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex Plus Size. And I'm wondering, Kelly, let's talk about the educational piece of this. I mean, what can folks learn from this movie?
Sure. You know, obviously, most sex ed DVDs that are out there talk about positions. That's like, you know, because the technical aspect is kind of why you people go and seek out sex ed DVDs. But specifically for plus size, and because this was the first one that's been made available, we wanted to make sure that we addressed as much stuff as possible. So we didn't just include like ergonomic, super nerdy, hey, these positions means that your penis can go in further in her vagina, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
But we also address, you know, communication exercises about things like trigger words, like words. Not everybody likes the word fat. Some girls, especially like big metropolitan sex positive cities, like I'm a fat chick and they completely own that. Mm-hmm. But not everybody does. And so there's an exercise using flashcards that a couple uses to talk about which words are good for them. And as the relationship progresses, like not like in the first couple of months, they can talk about what words are actually trigger words and why. And so it kind of establishes a relationship communication between a couple. So it helps you understand your partner better because you don't know your partner's history with certain words. So there's that. And then there's a section on body confidence, which talks about like exercises that you can use to feel a little bit better about parts of your body that you might not be so confident about and how to become better, better related to it, both by yourself as well as with your partner. So it's one of those DVDs that kind of tries to cover everything in, you know, an hour and a half.
Right.
Hopefully we haven't missed out on a lot. And hopefully we hit most of what we wanted to talk about.
Now, you're doing this educational work and this activist work. And so that kind of begs the question, where do you see yourself fitting into this growing feminist porn movement?
You know, it's so weird when people use the word activism, because people, you know, I do these interviews and people, that's the word that everybody uses. And I'm really not political. You know, it's I just see, I'm at the very heart a business person, and at the very heart I'm a marketer. And if I find holes in things that people should see, I'm like, okay, well, we should just do it. You know, like when I did Padded Kink, which is the plus size kink site, which doesn't exist anymore. It was really because kink.com and a couple of other fetish companies weren't using plus size performers. And I was like, well, I could sit and whine about it, or I could just make a site. So, you know, to some people it seems like activism, but it's really not politically motivated for me. It's just, I just, at the end of the day, want me to be happy, and I want the people around me to be happy. And if they feel like they're not being seen in a certain way, or not given an opportunity in a certain way, then I want to be able to present that, or help them make that happen.
Now, in the first half of the show, I talked with James Dean, and I understand that the two of you did a scene together for this upcoming yes. showcase movie from New Sensations called Meet Kelly. So tell me about what Meet Kelly is, and then, of course, tell me about James.
Sure. So New Sensations, which is an amazing kind of couples-friendly porn studio, they made a film a year and a half ago, called Meet Bonnie, which featured Bonnie Rotten, to kind of introduce her to her fans. And it was one of those star showcase films that had her in every single scene doing all sorts of things that she wanted to do, but also had these interviews in between so her fans could get to know her a little bit better. And it did so well that they've decided to now create a Meet line. So they've done other girls. And I'm the first, and I hope the first of many plus size performer that they decided to do with a Meet Kelly product, which is kind of funny because it's Meet like M-E-E-T, but it's also M-E-A-T. So
got it.
So when I pitched the project to them and they said, yes, let's do it. The first question was, who do you want to work with? What kind of scenes do you want to do? And I said, well, I've never done anal on camera with a porn performer, so I definitely want to do that. And then there's, you know, A-list male talent that I've always wanted to work with that I've never had the opportunity to. And so I did my first anal scene with Mr. Pete. I did my boy-girl scene with James Dean. And then I did a boy-boy-girl with Mick Blue and Ramon Nomar. So they're all these, like, really A-list guys who are just amazing male performers. And I've always had a huge respect for male performers because, you know, as girls, if we're not really particularly feeling it, we could still fake an orgasm on camera. Guys can't, you know? Mm-hmm. And just that alone, I have so much respect for them. And the funny thing with James is James and I have been friends. You know, I've been in the business for 8 years. James and I have been friends on just like a personal, hey, buddy, what's up, you know, kind of level for probably like 4 or 5 of those years. But we've never worked together. And so we both got on set and we couldn't stop laughing because it was just so surreal and absurd and odd, you know, that it was kind of like, you know, and I hate saying it's like doing a scene with your brother because it sounds incestuous, but it's like doing a scene with like your best friend mm-hmm. that you've known since you were a kid. And you're like, oh, this is awkward. You're here and you're naked. Oh. And, you know, when you do a porn scene, before you actually do the video, you do the photos that accompany the video. And those things really should only take about 20 minutes, but we kept cracking up. And so I think the whole process took like the better part of an hour because we couldn't stop laughing. But, you know, once we got down to actually doing the video, we're very professional because that's what we do.
Nice. Well, we've got a question.
Also, things that James didn't do on camera, which I asked him later, you know, because like James is known for a little bit more aggressive performance from
Absolutely.
Time to time, including
yep.
including some choking and breath play, and that's something I really enjoy. But he couldn't bring himself to do that with me because we're friends. So it's odd because like the one thing I was like, oh, if I do a scene with James, I get to have that, and I didn't get that.
Because he sort of couldn't suspend and get into the fantasy because he knows you too well. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, this is when we need to have James Dean back on and like ask him. Okay, we've got a question from a listener. This comes from Jenny via email. And she says, I have a question for Kelly. She's conquered so many things in the adult industry. What is next? Would she ever want to be a contract performer, or would she even direct? Question mark.
There's no, like, the contract system in porn doesn't really exist anymore. Wicked and Digital Playground, I think, are the only two companies that even still have that. I'm going to be, you know, I'm already past 40 at this point. So I'm seeing, as far as performing is concerned, I'm seeing that really slow down. So I think writing and directing is probably the next step. But I'm really enjoying the PR and marketing work that I'm doing. And I'm really glad that I went in that direction, because it means I can stay in the business for a long time.
And I hear you're going to add author to the roster soon. Is that true?
Yes. When we had Padded Kink, one of the things I enjoyed, because when I was a kid, you know, my first exposure to porn or adult entertainment was written. It was like, you know, smut stories and things like Pulp Fiction type things. And so we made sure that there was once a week erotic update on the site. And so when we shuttered the site, I was like, oh, what can I do with all these stories? So I took the best stories, and we just released Padded Kink 1 and 2 as an ebook. And those are available like on Amazon and Kindle. And I'll start talking about that starting next week on my social media.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's a great lead-in, because we are out of time, but I want to tell people how they can find you. You can go to Kelly's official site, kellyshabarixxx.com. You can follow her on Facebook and Twitter at Kelly Shabari. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of your Friday night with us, Kelly.
Oh, thank you. It's always nice to spend time with you, Kristen.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. I want to remind you, Jenny, to email me your mailing address, and you're going to get a free gift from Sport Sheets. That's fantastic. Okay, if you missed any part of the show, or you want to hear it again, or you want to share it with your James Dean and Kelly Shabari fans, you know, there's a lot of them out there and they all can't be listening right now. You can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when I will talk with the founder of CineKink, the Kinky Film Festival. That's going to be a good show that you do not want to miss, and it's also going to be live, so there's also prizes up for grabs. I'm just saying. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, or you can hit me up directly at Tristan Taramino. And of course, in your own life. I want you to go out and get this video, Jessica Drake's Wicked Guide to Sex, Plus Size. And then I want you to take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.